So Ephesians chapter 5, if you got your phones, if you can follow along, and I just want to take a few minutes and talk about a really important subject, Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to pick up in verse 6. God's word says this: let no one trick you or deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of obedience. Hey, that's my amen dog over there, all right? There you go. Hey, I'm getting started, all right? We're getting warmed up. Very good. There we go. It says, therefore, don't be partakers with them. So don't let someone trick you with their words so that you gradually move into joining them. Paul's going to say, talking to these young Ephesian believers, because we're all tempted to do that. And so he says this: for at one time you were in your rearview mirror in darkness, but now that you have Jesus, you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Now, I want you to try to discern what is pleasing to God. He goes on to say, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead I want you to expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible by light, therefore the Bible says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. And here's a whole point of just a few minutes together. Here's what he says: look carefully then how you walk. Walk is an analogy for how you live, the choices you make. Making the best use of time, because the days are full, do you see it, of evil. Of evil. It was interesting. This is such a cool day. Do you know that David, my son, is preaching his first sermon in big church today? Isn't that cool? So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. So, now, today's kind of cool because I'm actually stealing one of his illustrations. I asked permission. So, have any of you out there ever made a bad deal? Anybody ever made a bad deal? Come on, admit it. All right. Maybe you traded a car. You bought something that was a priceless thing and you found out that it was made in China, right? Okay. Anybody ever made a bad deal? So I was talking with my son about the worst business deal that was ever made. How many of you have ever heard of Netflix? Anybody ever heard of Netflix? Any Netflix binge watchers here this morning? Okay, good. All right, pray for the Gilberti family. All of them, their hands went up. All right. D6 family right there binge watching Netflix, okay? But Netflix has just kind of exploded onto the scene. Do you know how much Netflix is worth now? $20 billion. That's billion with a B. But how many of you remember the company called Blockbuster? Anybody remember the company called Blockbuster? All the young kids are looking around going, what's that? Didn't there used to be a Blockbuster in Tipton, right? Okay. And Blockbuster, back in 2000, was making $5.9 billion a year. Now, interestingly, they were making $500 million just off late fees. How many of you paid a late fee to Blockbuster? Raise your hand. Okay, that irresponsible right there, Miss McCain, all right? And so they were kind of at the top of their game when it would come to people going and getting the new releases and renting movies. And in 2000, a few CEOs, a few leaders in Netflix flew to Texas to the headquarters of Blockbuster and said, we have a deal for you. And here's the deal. If you give us $50 million, we will partner with Blockbuster and we'll take what you're doing and we'll take it to the realm of the internet. We'll take it to live streaming. And Blockbuster, I mean, they were the king of the court. These were the guys that had it together. And you know what Blockbuster did? They laughed Netflix right out of the building. They said, hold on, we who are making $5.9 billion, you want us to give you $50 million so we can partner? Like, no way. Well, back a few years ago, Blockbuster filed for Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Are there any more Blockbusters around? No. And they had an opportunity to partner with a company now, Netflix, that's making over $20 billion. How many of you would agree that was a bad decision? Raise your hand. OK. Okay, good. The rest of you are horrible business people, okay? That wasn't the worst business deal that was ever made. Do you know the worst business deal ever made was about 6,000 years ago in a setting that involved two people, a snake, and the creator of the universe. Did you know that? And on that very day, in a very brief amount of time, a transaction was completed between God, Adam, and Eve, and a snake that literally you and I are still paying for today. They got deceived. And here's kind of what I want to talk about just in the moments that we have, is that every single one of us, in hindsight, looking back at this refusal of Blockbuster to partner with Netflix, we would say that was a poor decision. You were self-deceived. You thought you were at the top of your game. You thought you had it. We look back to the Garden of Eden, and all of us think, you know what, if I was there with my wife, I would not cut a deal with a talking snake, right? I mean, we're intelligent people. But Paul is writing to a group of Ephesians because they're just like you and I, that we are one deception away from forfeiting God's best for you and I. And here's why you want to listen today. Because maybe up to this point in your life, you have been really good at making good decisions. Maybe up to this point in your life, you have made a series of just smart, intelligent, wise decisions. And quite frankly, life is going really, really good right now. But what God is saying to the Ephesian believers, and I think what you and I really ought to sit up and pay attention to, is that you and I are one opportunity, one temptation away from being deceived to forfeiting a lot. And the reason you want to listen so intensely, because the decisions that you make, whether it's out of discernment or out of deception, really influence three things. Number one, they influence your future. See, Blockbuster at the time refused to negotiate with Netflix because their future was secure. They were at the top of their game. They had all this money in the bank. Why in the world would they want to give away $50 million to partner with this upstart Netflix? They were deceived. They were self-deceived because they were doing so well. Secondly, do you know that the decisions that you make impact your family? You know, it's interesting that the decision of Adam and Eve has eternally impacted the family of the human race, hasn't it? We're born dead in trespasses and sins because on that beautiful afternoon in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve decided to let their guard down and they made the worst business transaction that was ever made. But lastly, here's why you want to sit up and listen, is because your faith is at stake. Do you understand that there are people that at one time were the most discerning people? They were growing in discernment. And all it took was a series of decisions. And now, you know what? Them and God have nothing to do with each other. God wants to have a part in their life, but they don't want to have a part in God's kingdom. All because something happened, something occurred where they let their guard down and they stopped growing in their discernment. So real quickly, I just want to walk you through this passage and encourage you and I to live in a way where we do not get deceived. How many of you here know of someone and you look at their life right now and it's obvious they got deceived? How many of you know someone like that? You look at the series of decisions that they made and you can kind of see the carnage that was left behind from a series of poor decisions that was made. How many of you know someone like that? We all do, right? Do you know the hardest person it is to see that you're being deceived is yourself? And here's the point that God wants to make to the Ephesian believers, and here's a point that I think you and I would do well to listen to, and that is this. It's for us to live in a manner that's worthy of our calling, for us to watch how we walk, we need to be growing in our discernment. We need to be constantly growing in understanding and recognizing the difference between right and wrong, truth and a lie. Because once you stop, hear me, growing in your discernment, inevitably you will be deceived. Let me say that again. Once you stop growing in your discernment, not just having it, but growing in it, inevitably you will make a bad decision that will cost you, cost your family, and it'll cost, to a degree, your faith. None of us in here want that. None of us want to be responsible for painting a horrible picture for our family because we let our guard down when it comes to discernment. Discernment is this. It's the ability to tell right from wrong, truth from error. And so God is writing to these Ephesian believers. Pick up with me in verse 6. Listen, let no one deceive you with empty words. In other words, you and I are exposed 24/7, three-dimensionally, to the opportunities of being deceived. Anybody ever get tricked by your own heart? Anybody ever go shopping and buy something that your heart really wanted and you got home and you're like, that was stupid. Anybody ever do that? Eh? Okay. Guys, you ever go to a car lot and you walk away with something and you're like, I shouldn't have bought that, right? Okay. It's your heart. So you can be deceived by your heart. Do you know you can be deceived by other people? Remember when you were a kid and you were talked into doing something absolutely stupid? Some of you still have that tattoo, right? Because someone talked you into doing something that you didn't want to do, right? Do you know who the biggest deceiver in the world is? Tom Brady. No, okay, all right. Who's the biggest deceiver in the world? Okay, all right, this is Church at the Park, and usually Christians come to Church at the Park, so you kind of need to know this answer. Who is the biggest deceiver in the world? Satan, right? And so here's what he wants to do to your future. Here's what he wants to do to your family. And here's what he wants to do to your faith. He wants to rob you of it. He wants to destroy it. And he wants to wreck it. And so understanding that I can be deceived in my heart. I can be deceived by people around me. And ultimately, the mastermind behind all this deception is Satan himself. You are constantly being thrown opportunities, aka temptations, to be deceived. It doesn't stop. When you wake up, it's right there. It doesn't even stop when you go to bed, does it? There is this constant barrage. There is this constant onslaught where Satan goes around your house and he checks every door and he checks every window, and all he's looking for is a little bit of space to get you to buy into a lie. And then to buy into another lie. And then all of a sudden it cascades into where you've made a decision that ruins your future, that harms your faith, and permanently impacts your family. And so let me give you three main points that's going to help us. We want to be deception-proof. And if we're going to be deception-proof, that means I got to be growing in my discernment. Discernment, the ability to know right from wrong, truth from a lie. And so how do we do that? Let me give you three things real quick. Number one, past discernment does not prevent future deception. Past discernment does not prevent future deception. Did you know that? That you can be in a place, you can be in a space in your life where you have been sitting along with God, where you have been engaged in a circle, where you've been active in a church. And you know what? All of a sudden, you've been making these wise decisions. You've been kind of saying no to temptation. You've been able to walk away from things before that kind of owned you, kind of shackled you. And you've gotten so busy that you have taken a vacation from growing your discernment. That you have become so preoccupied with life that you just don't have time to do those things. You don't have time to be with those people. You don't have space in your schedule to be around those environments where, you know what, I am challenged, where I'm growing in my ability to understand and see clearly the difference between what is right and wrong and truth and a lie. And all of a sudden, when you begin to disconnect, when you become, when the priority of being in spaces and being with people where you grow in your discernment becomes less and less important, do you understand that you become more and more vulnerable to making a decision that you'll forever regret? I read this and I thought this was good. Do you know what the receipt of deceit is? It's ruin and regret. The receipt of deceit is ruin and regret. And you've taken a vacation, hear me, on growing in your discernment. And as a result, you're starting to make some decisions that are a little questionable. You're starting to walk into some lives that before you wouldn't even be on the edge, like we talked about last week. You're flirting with disaster. Hear me. Because you've taken a vacation from growing in your discernment. You're too busy. You don't have time. You're blowing off those lunch meetings. And all of a sudden, you find yourself entertaining thoughts. You find yourself considering doing things that never before would have entered your mind. So number one, past discernment does not prevent future deception. I love this. In Psalm 119, how many of you memorized the Bible? When I was growing up, I was like in a Awana thing. Psalm 119, 9 and 10. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I memorized it in the King James. Can I get a yahoo, all right? How can a man make good decisions and recognize truth from lie, right from wrong? Here's what he says. Thy word have I what? Hid where? In my heart. So that I will not be deceived. So I won't be tricked. So I won't be lured to the edge. Because the closer I get to the edge, the more susceptible you and I are to being deceived. And listen, that's what we don't want to have happen. Because your family, your future, and your faith are at stake. Number two, I love this one. Discernment is not intuitive and is not solely individual. Intuitive means I just got the ability to do it, right? That you know what? I don't need to grow in my discernment because I'm just intuitively gifted at that, right? Said the 13-year-old teenager, okay? I kind of know. Do you know that your heart, Jeremiah says this, is what? Jeremiah would describe your heart, even after conversion at times, your heart is tricky. Tricky. Look at your neighbor and go, your heart is tricky. You got to have an attitude, kind of take your mouth, go, tricky. There you go. Your heart's going to deceive you. Because when your heart locks on to something so that it wants it so bad, it takes logic and reason and pushes it absolutely aside. That, have you ever seen, now I've gotten into, where's my men's group at? I love my men's group. For my birthday party, they got me money to get a gun, all right? And, you know, before I was like, you know, I had squirt guns, and I had Nerf guns, and I had BB guns. And then our men's group went shooting, and they said, hey, we want you to get a gun. Right? I'm like, why? You know, yeah, I'm going to hurt myself. But anyways, so I remember doing all this research, and I got a Ruger SR9C. All right. And now all of a sudden, when we go to Cabela's, guess where I go? I go to the what? Oh, my goodness. I remember one time I went over to a family and they said, hey, do you want to see like our gun safe? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, ooh, you know, you just kind of, your chest kind of pokes out. Let me hold that, right? You know, and you kind of whoosh, like that, right? And all of a sudden, I'm finding myself, as I'm looking at these guns, I'm like, oh, I can't afford that. And there's a part of me that says, oh, yes, you can, right? Your heart's going to trick you. And discernment is not intuitive. You have to grow discernment from an outside source because your tendency, the trajectory of your heart, the inertia where your wants are going to take you, are going to take you down the path, hear me, of deception. And so I have a question for you. Where is it? Who is it that you regularly put yourself in relationship with, that you're regularly in that environment where you are learning and growing what it means to recognize the difference between right and wrong and truth and a lie? It's not intuitive. The Bible says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. And there was a time where you were rocking it with God because every morning you'd wake up and you'd have your cup of coffee and you had your space and you had your chair. And man, I'm telling you what, you really, really, really wanted to know what God wanted for your life. And then life got good. Life got excellent. Life got easy. And all of a sudden, as life got easy and life got excellent and life became rewarding, you don't have time for that anymore because life is just so demanding. And all of a sudden, that discernment, that ability to differentiate between what's truth and a lie, you're fudging a little bit. You're crossing some barriers that years ago you would never, ever thought about crossing. It's because you thought your past discernment would carry you through, and you thought you could do this on your own. You can't. Secondly, I want you to see this, that discernment is not an individual thing. I love Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of what? It's a book of wisdom. And so he would put it this way, that wise men walk with what? Wise people. Who is it in your life that when you're unsure, you call them immediately? You're like, well, I just know. No, you don't. Who is it that regularly you meet with and you just talk about life? And these people love you enough that they can say, you know, I don't think that's a real good idea. I don't think I do that. And what I'm finding, especially in our Christian circles, is that people are getting so busy with doing life that they're destroying their own life because they're disconnecting from sources of discernment. Who is it in your life that you trust implicitly? I had a great time last night. I went over to the Hoovers. And they got married again, all right, renewed their vows. It was pretty cool. And I loved telling them, yeah, Paulette wanted to make sure that she knew it wasn't her and Tim, all right, okay. Yeah, y'all were very good. It sounds like they need to renew their vows, but anyways, all right. I love what he said, that there's a group of guys that every Thursday I meet with. How many years? 10. I mean, it's like clockwork. I'm like, well, why do you do that? Relationships, right? That feed your soul, that help you grow. Can I ask you something? Have you gotten so busy? Has your world become so important? Are you so needed in so many places that you just don't have that? You know what you're doing? You're setting yourself up to easily be deceived. And so lastly, can I get an amen for the word lastly? There you go. Where's my amen dog, all right? Discernment and deceit cannot coexist. It's not like I can be deceived in one area of my life and really be intelligent in another. They can't live together. They can't coexist. See, it talks about light and darkness, and that gets a little confusing, doesn't it? But do you know the purpose of darkness is to cover up the reality of a lie? The Bible would say this, that men love darkness rather than light, because you know what? I want to do wickedness, but I don't want anybody to see it or know about it. And I want to mask the consequences of it. Discernment does this. Discernment takes the light of truth, it shines it on a lie, and exposes the truth of the lie. And so a lot of times we think that, you know what, this really is no big deal. Absolutely it's a big deal, because this leads to this, which goes to this and does this to you and does this to your family and destroys your relationships. And so don't deceive yourself into thinking that, you know what, I can be discerning in one part of my life and in this other part I know what I'm doing is not right, but the rest of me is going to be okay. That is about as deceptive of thinking as you can have. Make sense? And so if you find yourself where you're fudging a little bit, where you're telling kind of these insignificant lies for reasons that you don't need to be lying about, something, someone, somewhere has deceived you. And that ought to cause just the spirit inside of you to well up and say, I need to deal with this. Because the reality of it is that every single one of us, 24/7, both internally, the people around me, and ultimately the prince and power of the air, is trying to go around the house of your heart and trying to find any window that's slightly left open and any door that ignorantly is left unlocked. And he wants you to begin not believing the big lies, but embracing the little ones. Because the little deceptions always lead to the big deception. The last thing I want to say is this. Do you know deception never stays where it begins? Deception usually begins with hearing something. And that's when he would say, listen, I don't want you to listen to the deceiver's words. And then he would say this, I don't want you to be partakers with them. I don't want you to be in partnership with them. Deception never stays where it begins. And many people think, you know what, I know this is wrong, I've heard this, but at least it's not. Deception always takes you to the next level. It always leads you into further danger. So, I have just a few questions I want to ask you because we want to make it really, 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 really hard for you to be tricked, to be deceived. So here's a question. Number one, what do I need to do to restart growing my discernment? I get it, summer's busy. Life is just going quick, quick, quick. How many of you, the summer is just evaporated? Anybody else? It's like, man, where'd it go? School for Tri-Central is August 8th. When is Tipton? That's 6 weeks away, right? 6 weeks away. Where did summer go? And you've gotten so busy and you've become so preoccupied with just life, especially on beautiful days like today, that time where you used to have the coffee in hand and the Bible in your lap in that private place or maybe in your pickup before you went into work, those days are, they're in the rearview mirror. Understand this. The moment you stop growing in your discernment, the more susceptible you become to being deceived. So what do you need to restart? Who do you need to recommit to? Secondly, who do I need to be around to grow my discernment? God says, listen, at times I can be really stupid. How many of you would admit there are times that I can make really poor decisions? Raise your hand. All of us, right? And I minimize the likelihood of me being deceived by surrounding myself with people that are wise, that want the same thing, that want to be discerning. So here's my question. Who is it? Where can you go? What relationship can you begin or develop or strengthen so that you don't find yourself between a rock and a hard place because you got deceived, you got tricked, you made a decision that you regret? Thirdly, where are the places I need to prioritize so I am not constantly being challenged, or where I'm constantly being challenged to grow into my discernment? My men's group made a mistake this summer. We decided to take a month off. And I think to a man, every single one of us would say that was not a good decision. And I found myself, as I backed away from that environment in those circles with those men of just talking about life, honestly, I found my soul a little dry. Anybody else in our men's group? I missed it. And I get it. There's life and vacations and sports. I understand that. But I regret just saying, hey, we're going to take a break from these relationships. It wasn't a good thing. So here's my question. What do you need to put on your phone in your schedule book that, hey, I'm going to be around these places? Let me give you the last question, and then we're done. I can smell pulled pork. Where's it at? I can smell it. Where's it at? Is it here? Okay. Hey, can you stand by it? Ian, can you take the lid off of one, please? Take the lid off. Okay. Take it in. All right, there you go. That's horrible. That's mean, isn't it, right? Here is how you know you're deceived. Here's a great question. You're sitting here hearing this, and you are dismissing and discounting the fact that you have disconnected from the people and places of discernment, and you don't even think it's a big deal. Let me repeat that. You know you're deceived when you have disconnected and you've dismissed the priority of being in places and around people where you get discernment. And hear me. And here's what you're thinking. I don't need that. I'm okay. That is the epitome, and that is telling that you are deceived. So my heart, God's heart, the Holy Spirit's heart for you is this. We don't want any of you to be deceived, because the receipt of deceit is ruin and regret. We don't want any of you to make a decision where this time next year we're putting Humpty Dumpty back together in your future, in your family, and in your faith. And all of us are susceptible to deceit. But listen, when you take your morning and you just make time, you say, listen, me and God are going to have some time. It's going to happen. Why? Because I have got to grow in my discernment. I've got to keep growing in that. And I'm going to find a group of women. I'm going to find a group of men. I'm going to find some teens that, you know what? I'm going to make time. I'm never going to get too busy for this. I'm never going to be too important for this. Because I'm going to grow in the ability to understand right from wrong, truth from error. Because what's at stake? Do you know David and Michael's future is held in my hands on the decisions that I make on a daily basis? I can scar my wife permanently by letting my guard down and thinking, hey, I'm a pastor. I don't need that. That's about as deceived as you can get. So where is it that you need to re-engage? Who is it that you need to meet with? What is it that you need to begin doing so that you can become more discerning and ever growing in discernment? Do you know why? Because Satan's mission statement is this: to steal, to kill, and to destroy you, your family, and your faith. And I think it's about time, don't you, that we just stop letting him win, huh? I think it's about time. There are enough people in here, all right, that have been scarred and hurt and harmed and deceived. And it's time for you and I to do everything we can to grow in being discerning followers of Jesus.